for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Well, good afternoon, friends. This is Jim Lafferty with a big frog in his throat today, and Maria Hall welcoming you to this week's edition of the Lawyers Guild Show. Hi, Maria. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. Thank you, Jim.
Well, other than the cold, I'm okay. Let me start off this time because we just have one topic today, really. Well, you'll see quickly what it is. Because in scenes, you know, reminiscent of the movement against the U.S. war in Vietnam, students at colleges and universities all around the country now have, since the start of the current Israeli-Palestinian war, been staging raucous but peaceful pro-Palestinian rallies on their campuses. Most publicized, of course, have been at Columbia University, where over 100 students were arrested and denied access initially to campus life after occupying one of the university's central lawns for some time now. And at the University of Southern California, right here in Los Angeles, where Asna Tabassum, the Muslim student chosen as the valedictorian of this spring's graduating class at USC, has nevertheless been prohibited from giving her valedictory address at the school's commencement ceremony. And all the while, the Republican majority of the House of Representatives has seized on this new protest movement as an opportunity to open an investigation, supposedly designed to root out anti-Semitism in the movement on our college campuses and beyond, but which already bears an uncomfortable similarity to the McCarthy Red Scare hearings of the 1950s. At the hearings, professors are publicly named as offenders of campus rules who are already being subjected to discipline before the supposed offending professor has even heard about it from their college employer. Protest chants and slogans, the meaning of which are, well, often in the eye of the beholder, are emphatically and without a doubt declared anti-Semitic in resolutions even passed by Congress. As there have been anti-Semitic attacks and slogans, well, according to the corporate media, lots of them. But it seems most of these physical and oral attacks were by off-campus groups. There certainly have been some, often, as I say, protesting outside the college or university's gates. And just because a defender of Israel says a slogan is anti-Semitic doesn't make it so. College provosts and presidents are being treated as the enemies of American values by attention-seeking members of Congress who couldn't define academic freedom if their lives depended on it. And the college administrators they questioned have been fired in some cases by their schools when right-wing members of Congress did not like their testimony. Well, why not? Because it wasn't in line with what their interrogators believed, never mind what the college heads were trying to defend, the principles of academic freedom. So today, the Lawyers Guild Show, we've invited a couple of students who've been part of this new pro-Palestinian movement on our colleges and university campuses, and who are defending the rights of others there as well. Our guests are Elizabeth Howell Egan, who is a student working on her JD degree at the USC Gould School of Law. She has been a tremendous help, by the way, working with the legal observers from the National Lawyers Guild, who are supporting this the pro-Palestinian protest at USC and in campuses all over the country, for that matter. Grace Ishang has, since her days in Seattle, been cultivating networks of collective care and solidarity. She has been an active organizer with the USC Student Coalition Against Labor Exploitation, the USC Abortion Rights Coalition, the Stop LAPD Spying Coalition, and many, many others. And a warm welcome to Elizabeth and Grace. Now, let me say, if you haven't heard their voices yet, I'm not sure if they're with us, because they're out in the field today. Today's a big day all over the country. This Wednesday has been chosen as a day when colleges are kind of coordinating all over the country their protest. And both Elizabeth and Grace are out there doing their work and making sure that these protests go on as they should. Have we gotten them on the phone yet, if you know, Maria?
Apparently, Grace is not able to She
get a
can't do
signal.
the interview because she is at a protest. The police are surrounding them right now.
Oh dear.
If somebody is there and has my cell phone, please text me and I'll get you on. I would love to know what's happening. I'm nervous for them, of course.
Well,
So
there was a report earlier today, Maria, that that things got a little iffy because the campus police, the security police as they call, and college security police are to policing, well, what military music is to music, and they're not very good at it. And they overreacted. They arrested some fellow who apparently had done nothing wrong. The students all began let him go, chanting, and they did. To their credit, they let him go. So that got a little tense. And of course, the other reason things got tense there is because the ultra-conservative Republican Speaker of the House, Johnson, made it his business to come today and speak out against anti-Semitism, met with the head of the college at USC and went out on the steps and spoke. And when he did, all the students, of course, booed and yelled at him. It one of the things that I can't help but fixate on a little bit. I'm 104 years old, and back in the 60s, when I was very, very active in the anti-Vietnam War movement, of course, when we issued slogans, what were we accused of? Being communist. They got to do something. So that really hurt. And then in that particular period of time, to be a communist, the McCarthy hearings had just been over and all that kind of stuff. I remember the major newspaper in Detroit. In criticizing me, said, I suspect he, in his dreams, he hears communist slogans. That was an actual quote. So that's how, pernicious and stupid it was. But it was designed to undermine, discredit the movement against the war in Vietnam. Well, now it's Israel and Palestine. What's the most harmful thing you can say to the pro-Palestinian students? You're all a bunch of anti-Semites. God knows anti-Semitism is growing all over the world in this country too. There's no doubt about that. But these are just cheap shots. And we'll talk a little bit about during the course of the show. I guess we can't reach Elizabeth either at this point. Is that right?
Yeah, for the moment, we will try. And again, if anyone's listening, if anyone is there and can contact us, go ahead and email or text me and we'll get you on. Yes, I think, as you mentioned about the speaker, that was really staggering to hear him come out and speak out against anti-Semitism. And basically, anyone characterizing anyone who is criticizing massacres taking place by a government as being anti-Semitic.
Right. Yeah.
So, how are people supposed to speak out against massacres and violence and war and all of the unfairness, all of the injustice? How can you speak out if you're going to be vilified, and especially for Jewish families who are being, it's dividing families, this debate, the way that it's characterized, it's dividing friendships. What do we do, Jim? I was looking at your article. You had a great article in LA Progressive last week, and you called it Bad News for the Jews. So it was a great article. Can you talk about that while we're waiting for the
Sure.
students? Just tell me a little bit about the how you came up with that. It's kind of a cute story how you came up with the title, but then also, what are the deeper meanings there?
That's right. Well, I start off, I think, by saying that when I lived in Detroit, which I lived all my younger life in Detroit, one of my Jewish friends, Ray Levin, whenever there'd be a news broadcast, somebody's just robbed a bank, somebody's just raped somebody, somebody's just murdered somebody, somebody's engaged in some massive political corruption. His first question would be, "Oh, I hope it's not a Jewish people. Hope it's not Jewish, because if so, it's going to be bad news for the Jews." And my wife, who happens to be Jewish, asked the same question when these things happen. And this is not surprising. I mean, my Muslim friends, my Hispanic friends, Asian friends, Black friends, they ask the same question. I'm told they will very often say, "Well, God, I hope it's not a Black person that just did," because they suffer so much discrimination, as do Jews. they suffer so much discrimination that, of course, they have us white folks. We don't. If it's a white person who's committed, I've never asked myself, gee, I hope it's not a white guy, because I haven't suffered that kind of discrimination. And it's what I tried to say in the article really is that there is some anti-Semitism, certainly in this movement, that it has no place in this movement. It undermines the movement. It plays into the hands of the Biden administration and of right-wing nuts like Johnson and others who want to accuse it that the whole movement of just being anti-Semitic, you know. And yes, there have been incidences, I say, of, you know, somebody putting swastikas on college dorm walls, somebody hitting some Jewish students. I read a number of them that it's true. But the fact of the matter is, we ought to keep focused on, we're protesting against Israel, not against Jewish people. And this war that Israel's, this war, which has basically been declared a humanitarian war of unbelievable proportions, the genocide that's going on, this indeed should be bad news for Israel. And it has been bad news for Israel. It's lost what little respect it had. So over the years, it's been losing a lot of it because of how it treated the Palestinians. But it shouldn't be bad news for the Jews. That was what I was trying to say. And I can see you because, you know, it sounds like you've got somebody on the phone now. Good. Okay. That's all right. This is live radio, folks. Maria, as we speak, has got her earplugs in and she's talking to somebody, I hope, at the demonstration. We can bring you an update perhaps on that. But so that was all I was trying to say with that. And remind people that when we were demonstrating against the war in Vietnam, we weren't demonstrating against the American people. We weren't, for the most cases, even demonstrating against U.S. soldiers who were killing people in Vietnam. They didn't have any real choice. We were demonstrating against the U.S. government. And the same is true now. These tens of thousands of students all over the country who are demonstrating on behalf of Palestine and what Israel's doing aren't demonstrating against Jews. They're demonstrating against Israel. Hell, 20% of Israel, for that matter, isn't even Jewish. I mean, so it's just, again, it's the corporate media that wants people to think because this movement got bigger than they thought it was going to get. And they really weren't quite sure it was going to get what it is, what's going to have the staying power it has so far. So that's what happened. Well, what's the report from the field, as they say?
So what's the report? Yes. So I just spoke with Elizabeth, and she or someone else is going to try to get a hold of KPFK so we can put them on the air. The police are there. They are expecting the dispersal order at any minute. And they're sort of on high alert. And then she's also acting as a liaison. So she may or may not be able to be the one, but she is texting somebody else with our number who's there that hopefully we can connect them. But in the meantime as well, I just wanted to remind everyone that it is KPFK's fund drive time. And it's not a non sequitur. This is what it's about. This is a really critical moment in our history. This is when free speech and just common sense is trying to be squelched because there are very powerful people profiting from misinformation and spinning and not letting us just want peace and fairness for all people. Why is that so radical? But for some reason, KPFK is one of the only places where people can actually say that. So please, you know, we're not reading from the teleprompters that, you know, whoever is, you know, forcing us to read. We're reading. We're sincere. We are here to talk with you. We are volunteers. So please support KPFK, an independent news station that is about all of us. We've got to keep it strong. It's on us. This is it. It's
the
time.
We don't get corporate money, and really, we don't get government money. A lot of other public stations. I was amazed the other day. I was listening to a very fine public station, but I was shocked. It was doing a commercial for some, I don't know, company that sold rugs or something. I mean, it wasn't just as it used to, just maybe do something for the symphony or the hospital or something. No, it was doing a regular commercial. I was sort of shocked. But we don't do that, and we don't spend 20 minutes of each show pitching for money, as I can remember we once did some years ago. We stopped that recently when things have come to a head, as they have come to a head in this country. And I'm not just talking about Palestine and Israel. I'm talking about in this country, the threats to our democracy, what's left of it. We're in the middle of a presidential election, and all of the problems that are going on, my God. And so that's why we only take a few minutes doing the show. So please give us a call now, friends. 818 985 KPFK. That's easy. 818 985 KPFK. Honor my gravelly cold voice and do that. Show me some sympathy.
Do it for Jim.
I'm shameless. I'll do anything. But seriously, do that. Or write, just go to our website, kpfk.org. As Andrew Tonkovich said in a little promo before our show, punch the button that says donate. But take a look at all the nice ways we have of saying thank you. Wonderful movies, wonderful musical recordings, wonderful this, wonderful books.
And we even have a special gift, and we have a special guest coming in at the end of the hour to talk to you directly about it. But there is on May 2nd a red carpet event of a spectacular movie called I Am Gitmo. It's by direct, we're going to have director Felipe Diaz here.
Oh, wonderful.
And we're going to be giving out tickets for a, I believe, I thought it was going to be like a $200 donation would get that premium. And apparently it's going to be offered for only $75. So
Oh,
that
amazing.
is such a deal.
Yeah.
It's going to be a beautiful event with many guest speakers who you won't want to miss, human rights experts. But he'll be in to talk at about 3:50, sort of at the end of the
Yeah.
hour. So
Yeah,
in the
talk about
meantime,
yeah, no, I yeah. Meantime, yes, but talk about the a sin of America, a
I know.
shameful part of American history. That damn place still goes on. There's still people locked away in Gitmo. The
I
torture
know.
went
And
on.
what's more, it's again, it's not a non sequitur. That is what this is about. It's about at times when the government wants to beat the war drums, that's when dissent, that's when free speech, all of it gets stifled. This is the time we have a moment here to be courageous or we can be silent. Which path do we want to choose?
Oh, that's so well put, because it really is true. And I think, I one of the things that worries me greatly is a number of my friends, even, I must say, I've said, I just can't watch the news anymore. I just got to check out. Everything's so miserable. Hey, don't do that, friends. I know it's miserable. I mean, so don't watch TV where it's even worse when you see the poor dead bodies or whatever. But at least read about it, because let's remember how Hitler came to power in Germany. People were getting into that same. And he was elected with what, 33, 34% of the vote. People really had no idea, or acted like they had no. We have a pretty damn good idea what it'll mean if Trump is elected. We have a pretty good idea what it means if people can't exercise free speech anymore. If Julian Assange is sent back to the United States and sent away to prison for the rest of his life, we talked about that last week, wasn't it? Yeah. There goes freedom of the press. As Vinny reminded us, Vinny DiStefano last week, Thomas Jefferson's the one, I think it was, who said, if I had a choice between having to give up democracy or giving up freedom of the press, I'd give up democracy, because with freedom of the press, you could get democracy back. But if you've got democracy and no freedom of the press, you're going to lose democracy anyway. And so you're so right. And that's why this little voice is so important, because we're part of the movement. When you contribute to us, we stay on the air. We bring all the movement activists and leaders on week after week. They don't get a voice on CNN. They don't get a voice in the LA Times, rarely. And we bring them on so they can build their movements, bring you to their demonstrations, at their meetings, get you involved in the work. And this is, if you will, the PR arm of the progressive movement in LA. 818 985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. Well, all right.
Well, oh, let me add one more thing about
Please.
history.
Yeah.
Let's talk about learning from history. here on KPFK, we have the archives. KPFK has been there through all of these movements, through all of through the repression, through the, you know, just trying to amplify voices, the voices of reason. You may not agree all the time. That's okay. Reasonable minds can differ, but we do want to have diverse voices here. And Jim, this is my question for you as well. You have been through, I know people think that you're a young spring chicken, but you have been through decades of activism, and you are known just for being there throughout, through thick and thin on the left. And you're certainly no stranger to Israeli-Palestinian conflicts, because you've been involved with that when it's in the news and when it's not in the news. You've always been fighting for human rights. So can you just tell us, based, you know, historically, what's different about this moment in time, say, you know, for people who support, express support for Palestinians, than say, you know, 5 years ago, other times when it has bubbled up in the news, but then it dies down again?
You know, that's a good point, really good point, because it's so true. And I don't want this to be misunderstood. One way to look at what is so different is that when Hamas carried out that rather successful, however brutal you may view it, successful military action, it gave Israel the excuse it's wanted since the day Israel was founded to finally, I think, basically get rid of or silence or weaken to such a point that Palestinians don't basically exist. I mean, you can listen to their leaders now. They're not shy about it now. They'll talk about how getting them all out of the country is the ultimate goal. You had Trump's son-in-law talk about building the beach in the Gaza Strip for fancy condos and send the people, get the hell out of there, get rid of the Palestinians finally. That's what Israel has wanted, what it was set up on Palestinian lands to begin with. And so that is, and then as opposed to simply dragging in a bunch of kids who were protesting and throwing some stones, as opposed to bringing in somebody who wandered too close to the fence or the wall, what you have instead is Israel not simply doing that, but rather committing genocide in Palestine. And the fact that a country that is largely Jewish, I might add, and which has suffered the Holocaust, one of the greatest humanitarian crimes ever, would be visiting anything remotely like that on the Palestinian people is, frankly, I find very depressing. But it is also outraged people. This isn't just, as I say, some little skirmish now that brings the hardcore out. This is one of the big humanitarian crises of our lives. And the young people have a conscience, thank God, as they did during Vietnam, as they did during the Civil Rights Movement. Yeah, that was a movement that was all communist too, according to the government. You know, anytime you don't like when the government doesn't like what you're doing, you're a communist then, or now you're an anti-Semite, or I don't know. You know, it's rather than dealing with it on the facts. So I think so. I think it's largely because of the opportunity, and I say that not to suggest I'm excusing Israel, believe me, but it provided Israel with a disgusting opportunity to do what it's frankly been wanting to do for a long time. And that is basically nullify the Palestinian people so it doesn't have to deal with them any longer. And that's why the movement is as strong as it is. We have TV now, too. You know, we have, if you go back far enough, there was radio, but there wasn't much TV. You know, to go back to 48, 49, I mean, nobody was watching TV, were they? I can't remember. I don't think so. Yeah, I guess maybe after the first little TV, but you didn't have the kind of 24-hour news and everything else. So that's what, to answer your question in a roundabout way, I think that's really what it is. It's because the scale of what is doing now isn't just worthy of a little story for a day or two, and it hasn't ended yet. They've made it clear they're going into Rafah, where a million people are crammed in like in a phone booth and are already have started dropping bombs, I might add, in Rafah. So it's so unimaginable that it's really given rise to this amazing movement. And you know, the other thing I'm just thinking about, we should talk about, because again, you'll hear this in the press a little bit, but you won't hear it as often as that, oh, they're all anti-Semites. The beautiful thing that Columbia did, it was yesterday, when they had a, because you know, it was Passover, and a very important Jewish holiday. And the young people there, I don't want to call them kids, the young people there, they had Passover. Jews, Christians, they all broke the matzah together. They all did what people do. I mean, these are lovely young people. Don't believe the crap you're hearing about how they're all a bunch of anti-Semites beating people up. Those few nuts, and they're out there, don't speak for the movement. They're not what the movement itself is doing everything it can to get rid of those few voices. And we'll talk about this a little bit in the course of the show, hopefully, if nothing else, just with you and I, about what is an anti-Semitic slogan and what isn't. Because as I referenced earlier, I think, you know, it's easy to simply call anything that's criticizing Israel anti-Semitic, just as I say anything that was criticizing America during Vietnam was communist. So we'll talk about that at some point too.
Right. And I did want to give a quick update from that I am getting by text.
Good, good.
So apparently and this is from a USC student, the campus safety has been sort of escalating from the start. They've been resulting in property damage, confiscation, violent detainment, and campus
By property
safety.
damage, excuse me, you mean they've been destroying tents and things?
Probably, I'm just reading the
Oh,
text.
I'm sorry.
So,
I'm sorry. Go
no,
ahead.
it's okay. Yeah, because they're kind of, it sounds like it's pretty intense on the ground. So I'm just getting some brief texts here and
Gotcha.
there. And being extreme, that's campus safety, being extremely aggressive towards students. LAPD seemed okay, I guess they came in too, but now apparently they're coming in with riot gear staged nearby with at least one arrest van.
Are
So,
you saying, wait, are you saying LAPD have entered this private campus?
I it says came in, so
Yeah.
I can't see it, but
That's
yeah, it
something they
sounds
normally
like.
don't want to do and really shouldn't be doing. And unless something a lot worse, and if people are being mowed down with a machine gun, that's one thing. But my God, to come in just because there's a, you know, a vigorous, loud protest going on.
Right, and of course we didn't mention, we assumed that listeners knew about USC was sort of a hotbed right now because they made the decision to have a valedictorian, a brilliant young woman, Asna Tabassum, and then uninvited her because of fears of quote unquote safety concerns. So we were going to talk about that with the students as well. So yeah,
One
sounds.
important thing about that, by the way, and I know this because a dear friend of mine was concerned about her. Well, I mean, I think she's maybe anti-Semitic. And I said, well, you know, there's that one social media post that she said she liked. And it says from the river to the sea, and then there was a comma. There was actually a comma. I said, "Well, what does it say beyond the comma?" And what she meant, and what she said, she explained was from the river to the sea. Let there be one state, Jews and Palestinians living finally side by side with equal rights. That's the only way this is ever going to end. That's the only
Wow.
way this is ever going to. We're going to have peace there because you can't have a two-state solution anymore. I mean, there's thousands of settlements, and like, I mean, what's left for the Palestinians? No, let's, you know, they're not asking to be given back and run. They're not trying to run the Jews out. They're just asking for a country that they can be a part of, first-class citizens of, like the Jewish folks and Muslims and others that live in Israel, for that matter. So I think that's critically important. And she made a point of saying her speech was not going to be some rant about Israel. And she wanted to talk about how we achieve peace and harmony, and you know, and my other favorite thing on that was my other favorite thing on that was after they denied her, you know, they canceled her. They had all these Hollywood stars, you know, and big name people could also be making remarks. I gotta see if it's hard to remember exactly, but. They excused them if they didn't come. In other words, what they're really saying is, don't come because it'll look bad if we let you come and we didn't learn. But they don't put it that way. They make it like, You know, if you care to back out now, we'll be very pleased. I mean, come on, gee whiz. And that's what started off. Can you imagine how different this would all be? How different this would all be if at USC they had not done that with respect to that young woman. There's college protests everywhere. Allowed those protests to go forward. If the head of USC had behaved in a horrible way, same thing at Columbia. Same thing. One thing Johnson and I actually agree with the Speaker of the House. He thinks she should resign. Yeah, I think so too. I think she just prostituted herself, frankly, in front of the Congress. You know, naming names of professors who are being disciplined and let go before the professors themselves even knew it. Shame on her. I mean, you know, I will say to her credit now, those negotiations that were supposed to end at midnight last night are continuing. Apparently some progress has been made. It shouldn't be that big a deal. I mean, it shouldn't be. It gets bigger. Anybody who understands youthful passion, mm-hmm. good youthful passion, understands that the best way to deal with it is not to stick a pole in their eye, for God's sakes. I mean, I was very quick and I'll shut up, but I remember during Vietnam, at one point, all the students at a college in Detroit, where I was living, took over the dean's office. And he was a brand new dean. He had only been there a week. And they called me over because there were going to be all these arrests. And I run over there and the dean sees me and he says, "Hey, Mr. Lafferty, yeah, I know who you. Come on in my office." Come on. I said, "I understand you're a cigar smoker. Here's a Cuban cigar. By the way, I've ordered pizza for everybody." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, that's a nice gesture." But I said, "More importantly, are you listening to their demands?" "Oh, yeah, I think their demands are quite reasonable. As soon as the pizza gets there, I'm going to sit down and talk." And he did. And they changed policy. It took maybe an hour. I'm not making this up. It was the opposite of what they're doing at Columbia and USC and all over the damn country now, because they're looking for a fight, as opposed to understanding free speech, understanding student protest, understanding what makes it successful and what turns it into a crime. Oh my God, it's very depressing.
But it also makes superstars. And speaking of Vipassana Tabasam, I mean, this is a time when we don't have to give in to it. We don't have to. We are here. This is our time. I wanted to read just a paragraph of her statement, Asna Tabasam's statement about USC. And as I also went to USC, so I really do connect with this.
Right, I forgot that.
She says, "I am a student of history who chose to minor in resistance to genocide anchored by the Shoah Foundation and have learned that ordinary people are capable of unspeakable acts of violence when they are taught hate fueled by fear. And due to widespread fear, I was hoping to use my commencement speech to inspire my classmates with a message of hope. By canceling my speech, USC is only caving to fear and rewarding hatred. My identities and experiences inspired me to think outside the box, a mindset I cultivated at USC, and it is this very quality that contributed to my selection as USC valedictorian. As your class valedictorian, I implore my USC classmates to think outside the box, to work towards a world where cries for equality and human dignity are not manipulated to be expressions of hatred. I challenge us to respond to ideological discomfort with dialogue and learning, not bigatry and censorship. And I urge us to see past our deepest fears and recognize the need to support justice for all people, including the Palestinian people." Again, that was from the rebuttal statement of Asna Tabasam responding to the U.S.
She just made my point. She just made my point far more eloquently than I did. I mean, that brings a tear to my eye. I mean, that's beautiful. And it's so true. It's just so, but it just makes me so sad because look at that. Look at that. They could have had that young woman, that young Muslim woman who got involved in this through the Shoah Foundation. Did you catch that, audience? And has been denied the right to speak as the valedictorian of her class. And they wonder why the campuses are pissed off. Jeez. All right. Well, what are we hearing from the ground? Anything more?
Okay. So that was I'm a little nervous that maybe the dispersal order has has happened because I'm not getting the text updates anymore. I wish I were on the ground there,
Well,
but in
no, I said if that's what's happened, the USC has done another dumb thing. If that's the best they could do, they've done another dumb thing. It's going to come back to bite them in the rear end harder than they've been bit already. And I, you know, that notion that because you're in charge of this wealthy private school, that you can just do anything you damn well please. I guess these whoever's running USC has not read their history. That's for
Well,
sure.
I was just about to ask you, Jim Lafferty, what lessons from history should Joe Biden and the presidents of these universities be looking at in order to save us from this zero-sum game of escalating war and repression of free speech and ideas and tolerance?
Yeah, well, that's what I was sort of getting at, I guess, a minute ago when we were talking about this. They should follow the example of George Gill, who was the dean of students at Wayne State University back in the 60s, who bought pizza and set and in an hour resolved some very thorny issues with the students. He said, "I can't argue with it." So they changed the rules. It affected the draft of their. It was an amazing thing. Anyway. They could do that, you see. That's what's so sad. They could do that. It's if your first reaction is to fight, and especially when you're, as I say, when you're dealing with very passionate folks, thank goodness, you know, and hopefully we keep some of that passion as we get older. But when you're young, it's certainly there. And to stamp it out then, turn them into criminals, turn them into criminals. Initially, they weren't going to let them back in their dorms. They were going to be homeless. They were going to make them homeless, remember, at USC. And they couldn't complete their classes. And then, well, they started to back down. They backed down from some of that, thank goodness. But their first reaction should be the accommodating meeting of the minds. Hey, look, if somebody's destroying a campus, if it isn't safe for, really isn't safe for students to walk through that campus, of course they have to do something. Then that's a demonstration that isn't right. That you obviously that not every demonstration that's ever taken place has been the right thing to do and done it the right way. But there's no evidence here. The fact that things have heated up here is far more the responsibility of these universities and not the students themselves, I fear.
And out there in Columbia, at Columbia, NYU, Barnard, on the East Coast, it's really been the student journalists who are the real heroes here. They are out there on the ground pushing the campus for answers. They're the ones, you know, and it is this independent journalism and independent reporting. And again, just to remind everyone, please do give to KPFK because this is really the platform where the people get to speak and not trying to sell you something, not trying to force you to believe something that you feel instinctively is not right. So please do give. We do have a special guest coming on in a few minutes who's going to tell you about an amazing premium of tickets for next week's screening of I Am Gitmo, fabulous human rights panel that's going to be also there. But please do just, you can go online, kpfk.org, make your pledge, please. We're volunteers, Jim and I here, and we also give. When we have more money, we give a little more. When we have less money and we're tightening our belts, we give a little less, but we always try to give something.
Yeah, that's so good, Maria. It's so true. I know you're very good about that. And there are people listening who can't give us a dime. They're lucky to have a radio they're listening to. No worries, my friends. We're not talking to you. Just try to take care of yourselves. But we are talking to you folks who are doing okay, and you're listening to the station. Come on, fair is fair. You must like the station. You wouldn't be listening. So make a phone call. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. Go to the website. Do the right thing. You'll feel better, frankly. I always do. I always do. because you've given to a good cause, you've given to a station you admire, you're listening, you've helped the station survive during what are tough times now. There's so much media and so much proliferation of other ways people can get their news. And so it's critically important that this one vote, one voice here in Los Angeles that isn't corporate continues to be on the air, bringing that message that those two delightful little children recited to you at the top of the show when they're talking about what our mission is. I love hearing that because it's so true. And coming from the mouths of young folks like that, it's particularly endearing and reminds us of how necessary it is for their lives to be the kind of lives we want them to have. So for them, for us, for yourself and for your benefit, please give us a call. And then you'll feel better. We'll feel better. And everything will be good that way. Now, I just before we do get to the other thing, I just do want to mention a couple of things. We were going to do it with our guests who are out there fighting the good fight. And we knew this might happen, by the way. We said, well, if you have to do that, of course, that's number one. But you know, some of these slogans, again, in the same way that anything that was critical of the United States government during Vietnam was considered as often, you know, communistic. The same thing, anything that's critical of Israel is considered anti-Semitic. And that makes no sense. I mean, it's not logical, even. You know, I mean, for example, the one that always fascinates me is, well, when you talk about Zionism and how it's bad, and it's just, that's anti-Semitic. Yeah. If Albert Einstein were still here, tell it to him. Albert Einstein, when the Jewish state was created in 48, 49, they asked him to be president of Israel. And he said, a Zionist state? That's a discriminatory state. That's a state that doesn't give equal rights to everybody. I will not be president of a Zionist Israel. Was he an anti-Semite too? Or just a self-hating Jew? Those who want to, you know, diminish the movement always want to fall back on that. So come on, folks. Let's be right. Oh, look. There we go. I see. Because Maria and I are also on Zoom, so we can see each other. Introduce our guest, Maria, please.
Yes, we have a special surprise guest, and actually we're going to have a deeper conversation more next week, Wednesday, but we have Felipe Diaz here, who is a director and founder of Cinema, let me see if I say it right, Cinema Libre. I should remember that. Cinema Libre Studios, a 30-year-old filmmaking company specializing in social issue-related films. And back in last year, when he had just finished the shooting of his latest film, I Am Gitmo, we had a great conversation with him. And then now his film has won some awards, and it's going to be out next week here with a red carpet. And we're really excited to be able to offer tickets to that screening. I'm already going. I'm on the list. For next week. So Felipe, welcome to the Lawyers Guild Show. And why don't you tell us a little bit more about what's happening with you?
Thank you. Thank you, Jim and Maria. I'm so happy to be back. You know, I love the show. I've been listening to Jim forever. So, you know, so anyway, yes. So the movie is finished. It's opening in New York Friday at the Cinema Village, and it will open in LA at the Lamley Monica Film Center. The Friday after, on May 3rd. And on May 2nd, we have this event. We organized this big event because we realized that, you know, it was a very important film, and we have a lot of support for the film in the people who know the issue of Guantanamo. We have dealt with them on the legal side and so on and so forth. So we organized this premiere where we will be joined by a lot of people, including but not less than Fionnuala Niaolén, who is the one who wrote, she was the UN human rights and counterterrorism reporter for 6 years. And she's the only one who was allowed to go to Guantanamo. And she told me that she bothered the government every single month for years to get them to relent, because, of course, they said no. And after like so many years, they say, okay, fine, you can go to Guantanamo and be done. But what, of course, they didn't think, or they may have thought, is that she wrote this damning report explaining what she showed there, the abuse of detainee, the lack of human rights, the torture issue, and so on and so forth. And so she's joining us for this event on May 2nd. That will be the premiere. We will have also Michael Rapkin, who is a very important lawyer who started to defend Guantanamo detainees since 2005.
Did you say Michael Ratner?
Yeah, Rapkin. Oh. Rapkin.
Oh, Rapkin. Okay. All right. Good.
And many other. There's Jeremy Kosmarov, the journalist, who will moderate the Q&A. Of course, we'll have director, myself, and cast, and so on and so forth. But I think that, so we are trying also to do a lot of things with this event, is that we will have, for example, the artwork of some of Guantanamo detainees that they did during their time in Guantanamo, and that the great Beth Jacob, who is another lawyer who represented a lot of detainees, sneak out on her suitcase from Guantanamo, and that we're going to have a silent auction just to help them survive. Because one of the worst parts of Guantanamo, and you cut me, don't hesitate to cut me if I'm too long. So the worst part of Guantanamo is that now, on the 750 plus men who have been imprisoned there, a lot of them have been released, but they have been released, most of them, without any money, of course, without even an identity. They have been stripped of their own identity and sent sometimes to countries which are not theirs. So they are thrown in a country they don't know and left to fend for themselves without no way to travel, no way to go anywhere, et cetera, et cetera. So we are trying to raise awareness about that, because for Fionnuala, the UN rapporteur, and myself, and a lot of other people, the most important now, of course, it's to close Guantanamo, of course, it's to ban torture and so on and so forth, but it's also to ask for reparation for these people. Because we have people who have been imprisoned for anywhere from 10 to 20 years, and now they are left, they are thrown in the middle of nowhere, and they have to find a way to start a new life. How's that after being 20 years of torture? And when Fionnuala explained very clearly is that not only they need money, but they even need psychological help. You cannot be tortured for 10 years and be fine. And all the people I have been trying to interview, the former detainees, during the making of the film or after, are in a terrible situation, such psychological situation. So we'll have this event and we'll have this auction. We even put a little fundraiser together to raise at least $10,000 to help them, So I would be very happy, as we discussed, to offer a ticket of this premiere. It will be so, just to make sure people are happy with it, we will have a cocktail, we will have a red carpet with celebrities and this and that. The traditional Hollywood premiere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think of you as a big Hollywood guy,
But only one, just
for 1 minute, because he's generously, they've given us 10 tickets, as I understand it. Am I right? 10 tickets. That we
10 pair, in fact, 10 pair. So it could make 20 tickets.
Oh, my God. So that's 20. That's very generous. And because they're trying to make money here, folks. Well, so are we. So they've given us these 20 tickets, and they're going for, what, $75 a pair?
That's correct. That was the idea, to support KPFK. Absolutely.
That's wonderful. $35, whatever. My math is terrible. Is that $37.50 or something, I guess?
Yeah, but you will have food and drink and even free parking. How's that? Free parking.
You can't even go out to dinner for that anymore.
Wow.
No. So call, folks, I think they're going to go fast. So please give us a call. You want, the Interfaith Communities United for Justice and Peace has been very much a part of that. I've been at demonstrations for 100 years. And they're just wonderful. And what you learn from the lawyers, these amazing lawyers who have represented these people, it's sometimes unimaginable. Well, and a lot of people in this country are too young to remember, when the real terrible, terrible, beautiful,
that's correct,
sadistic stuff was going on. So friends, you can help the station. You can see this amazing movie. It'll change you, I'm telling you. And then you can help promote doing something about Guantanamo. Finally, 818-985-5735. Give us a call, or go to, can they do it through the website too, Maria?
Yes, of course. And there's a little box at the end. It says comments. Just go ahead and click in there that you want the tickets, the I Am Gitmo tickets. So do that. And then the station will make sure to reach out to you and get you the information you need. And yeah, it is going to be an inspiring event. It's one of those times, once again, as I've said throughout this, we need to stand up more than ever before. We need to be together. We need to support each other. That's how we find the courage to change our fate. We don't have to just sit by and let this, you know, zero-sum game of war overtake us. We can do better. You know, we can evolve, but we need each other.
And Felipe, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm willing to bet that this wasn't an easy ride for you. People weren't saying, here, take $1 million. Here, take another million.
Yeah, absolutely.
Must be made. Here, make it. Right?
Absolutely. You are absolutely correct. Because when you make a movie on, and you know, I made it on a very specific, in a very specific way, which is from the point of view of the guy we tortured. Because, you know, I saw I don't know if you had the chance to see the Mauritanian with Jodie Foster about the book of Mohamed Ould Slahi book, Guantanamo Diary, which was a wonderful book. But for me, it was, a lot of very talented people in this film and they made a great movie, but it's again, a movie about a white hero who saves the day.
Of course.
It's another John Wayne movie. Jodie Foster this time, you know, who plays Nancy Olander, who is this wonderful lawyer, who really, of course, took Mohamedou out of Guantanamo, and she's a wonderful person. But we don't need another white hero saving the day. We needed to see the true story of what happened to Mohamedou.
They're the heroes, the prisoners.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's why I shot most of the movie from the point of view of the prisoner when he's in the black hood, the camera is in the black hood, when he's in the box for mock execution, the camera is in the box, and so on and so forth. I want people to think, well, what would I feel if it was happening to me? You know, what if one day some policemen come at my door and say, hey, come with us? And they ask me this stupid question that I don't even understand. And because I can't answer, I'm tortured. Because it's exactly what happened to thousands of men in the Middle East, you know, and they were sent immediately through torture in the CIA black sites, you know, where some lost their limbs, some even died. You know, the CIA acknowledged, oh, yeah, we lost a few, they said, you know, and the torture. Is that possible? You know, Fionnuala, our great UN reporter, says, you know, you don't get to choose who gets to be protected on the human rights front and who does not. That is not an option. And the fact that the you know, because it was a systemic thing put in place by the US government. You know, all these men, you know, were sold to the CIA for bounty because of the great idea of Donald Rumsfeld, you know, at the time decided to print millions of leaflets and throw all over Afghanistan saying, you bring me a terrorist, we'll give you a lot of money. And at the time, a lot of money was a lot of money. They were giving $2,000 to $20,000 for anybody turned in to the CIA. And that's a gigantic amount of money at the time. It was a gigantic amount of money in Afghanistan.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Felipe, but my understanding is that the CIA simply they experimented with different forms of torture they maybe hadn't tried before.
Oh, absolutely. That was the whole
guys, we can do anything we want to do. So let's try this one. And you know, it's as I said earlier in the show, I think to say it's a blight on the history of the United States, of which there are more than a couple. But boy, this one stands right up there. I mean, it really does. And this movie will tell you about it. Sadly, I'm going to be on an airplane on the 3rd, but that's when I go. But I'll get to see it eventually. And
of course.
I've heard about it because I've heard so much about it. I thought, yeah, of course.
Yeah, there was a lot of people wrote about it. A lot of people were supporting it. You know, we have Michel Paradis in New York. We will have Q&A, you know, in New York every single day this weekend with Michel. He was this eminent lawyer who won many cases, you know, on the Guantanamo issue. We have Karen Greenberg, you know, who was also this law professor who wrote a wonderful book about Guantanamo. We have Bess Jacob, the one who sneaked the artwork, you know, who was also representing, you know, inmates. So there are a lot of people supporting because I think that, you know, Fionnuala says, you know, she saw during this last 6 years, she has a very interesting line. She says, in the last 6 years of being a human rights reporter, she had the feeling that she saw the limit of the legal fight. Like she feels that she won many battles, they won many battles, but it doesn't change anything in the policy of the government. So she says, now we have to bring the fight to an emotional level. That's why we did the movie.
Yeah, and it's part of the war on Muslims.
It's
part of the war on Muslims. It's not incidental to that war. It's why we could do it. Can you imagine having rounded up a bunch of white folks from someplace, a bunch of Brits, a bunch of Germans, and thrown them into Guantanamo? I don't think so. So it's racist and everything else. Jesus. Well, Felipe, my hat's off to you for making this movie. I can't wait to see it. I'm going to have to wait, but I can't wait to see it. Friends, you don't have to wait to see it. That's the point. You can see it in about 5 days from now or whatever it is, 6 days, whatever. On the 3rd of May, you got to call us at,
Second. The premiere is on May
2nd. I'm sorry. But the 2nd. Okay, it's on the 2nd. And you can get two tickets for $75, plus drinks, plus free parking, plus nibblies. I don't know. Plus you're going to see all these amazing people. It will be one of your more memorable times in a theater. I can assure you. I know enough about it to know that. Enough about.
Agreed. So, yes.
So and we can use the money, folks. So yeah, this is a win-win situation. You give us $75, and you get to go to a. You get to have an amazing night out for you and a friend. 818-985-5735. That's how you do it. Or go to the website, kpfk.org.
Yeah, and if you have more money, you should give more for those tickets.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that is so cheap for those tickets. It is almost embarrassing. Yeah. I mean, if you can afford it, hell, give them $500, whatever. Give them $100. Give them $200. Whatever you can afford. I mean, think about it. I mean, you know what it'd be to go out and park and have some drinks and do this and do that. And see a great film. So no, by all means, but for $35 a ticket, my friend, $75, $37.50. I keep getting my math wrong. $37.50, I think it is. You can get two tickets to this amazing, really. There aren't a lot of films like this that have been made. This is going to be one of those films. I don't know, like Battle of Elche. It's going to be one of those films that people are going to go back to time and time again. I won't live long enough probably to see it, but I'll bet you anything that 20, 30 years from now, people will be pulling up this film and talking about this film.
So well, and the Q&A.
And the Q&A. So you can be there, my friends. You can be there.
The artwork.
985-5735. Last thoughts, Felipe, before we have to all say goodbye?
No, we are happy to. And again, if some people cannot afford that or cannot come on the 2nd, the movie opened the 3rd. And if you need free tickets for listener to come on the 3rd, as long as they would give a tiny bit to KPFK,
sure.
We'll give tickets.
Good. That's very sweet of you. That's very sweet of you. No, that's because Hollywood threw all these millions at him, you see. That's why.
It's just the generous of heart.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Well, it's important to spread the word.
It isn't a one-off kind of situation. There's still black holes all over the damn world, you know. There's still that kind of stuff going. What's going on in American prisons isn't much better. So,
absolutely.
For that matter. So give us a call at 818-985-5735 or go to the website. Well, Maria, this is my last show for a few months.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm leaving the country. My wife's got some work overseas. So poor me, I have to be away all summer in Europe. It's a real hardship, but I'll somehow manage. And I'll do some work while I'm there, but nothing like this. And I will miss you. I will miss this show. I'll be back in August, all going well. And
you'll keep your seat warm.
I will, keep the seat warm and keep raising hell. I mean, that's the only thing you can do. Do I hear our music? I can never hear it when we do.
Yep.
Oh, there it goes. Well, Felipe, thank you so much. All my dear friends, thank you so much.
Thank you both. Thank you both for the great work.
Thank you. Thank you all. Everybody who listened today, tune in next week. We'll be back next week. I may not be here, but Maria will be here with some great guests talking about the things you can hear nowhere but here. Until then, remember what the song tells you. You got to keep active and stand up for your rights. Life is really worth. It's an art that needs a scroll.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
you don't already know about it, it's really time to discover KPFK. KPFK is community radio from Southern California, powered by people like yourself for over 62 years. It's part of the completely unique Pacifica Network, and our listener sponsors are passionate. We've routinely heard them say things like,
"It is the best source of news that I know of."
The thing that distinguishes Pacifica from the rest of the media landscape is our funding model, listener sponsorship. It allows us to speak to what really matters in our listeners' lives. So why not become a part of this impassioned community?